And what does it take to go from scout to one of the top GMs in the NFL?
Well, I was able, after we left Kansas City, to get some administrative experience in the Canadian Football League and the U.S. Football League as a personnel director and then as an interim general manager with the Chicago Blitz. Came over to Buffalo as the director of pro personnel, and then very unfortunately, our general manager had a very debilitating heart attack, and they needed someone to step in and sign Bruce Smith, of all people. In the face of a battle with the USFL, and I had had the previous administrative experience as well as the scouting background, and no small thanks to you because you made it big. I was just one of the guys that recommended you, but it certainly helped, and so they tapped me, and the rest, as they say, is history. I was able to get the job done and be very fortunate to work with Marv Levy and Jim Kelly and Bruce Smith and Andre Reed, et cetera, et cetera. So lots of times it's being in the right place at the right time.
You know, no one can predict this season. That's why the NFL is so exciting, because every team in every city has a sense that they have a chance still. Call it parity, call it just a well-run game, but you must be feeling pretty good. My prediction was sort of the reverse of last year for the Colts, that they would struggle a little bit early, knowing that the key thing was they would find themselves late in the season, and of course struggling maybe a little bit with the running game without an Edgerrin James. But you guys have found a way, and nothing could embody that better than watching a guy named Peyton Manning lead the team down twice in the last 2 minutes. Tell us how the team is feeling right now in terms of its overall confidence.
Well, we're very confident because we've won some tough ball games, notably against the Jets, the Giants, and Jacksonville. And so we've got a lot of confidence. We're playing with confidence. We're playing with the knowledge that we know how to win, which is important. We've not played as well defensively as we would have liked. Some of that is due to injury, and as time goes by, we've been getting some of those people back, and it will stand us in good stead because the people who've had to play in the absence of the starters have played pretty well and gotten a lot of experience, so that's a plus for us. But we got to pick up the defensive level of play and avoid mistakes. We made a huge mistake last week on special teams, allowing a 103-yard kickoff return to let the Jets back in the game after we'd gone ahead in the fourth quarter. But if we can eliminate those mistakes, play a little bit better defensively, then we're going to be a pretty good football team. Because offensively, despite the fact that haven't had Brandon Stokely all season, we've done pretty well, and the running game has been good, and will only get better over time. So we're in pretty good shape, provided we stay healthy.
Well, tell us about the running game, because when we had Tony Dungy on about 2 months ago, he was really not that concerned. In fact, one of the things he said was, I think that Edgerrin James will be a great addition to the Arizona Cardinals, but maybe it will be Trey Walters that helps them as much as anything. Tell me about that running game with Joseph Addai and Dominic Rhodes, and how confident you feel that you have enough weapons and enough variety, and of course the leadership in Peyton Manning to overcome all of those setbacks.
Well, the bottom line, without, and I don't want this to come out in any way derogatory of Edgerrin James, because he is one of the, perhaps the greatest running back in his franchise's history, and in my opinion, a surefire Hall of Famer. We don't have a thing bad to say about Edgerrin James. Having said that, the guys we're playing with now, Joseph Addai and Dominic Rhodes, have played well. They're capable of playing well. We've seen that they're capable of playing well from day one. So while most of the national media and even our local media were bemoaning the loss of Edgerrin, we said, hey, we're going to miss Edgerrin in a lot of ways, but we can replace him, and we have. And Addai is just beginning to scratch the surface of his talent. He gets better every week, and he will continue to get better and make big plays. And Dominic is playing back to the form that made him a 1,000-yard rusher when he had to replace Edgerrin, unfortunately, when Edgerrin got injured 4 or 5 years ago. So we think we're in good shape there, and we'll continue to be in good shape in the running game. And we wish Edgerrin nothing but the best in Arizona, as far as we're concerned, we can still function effectively on offense if people decide to take away the pass and force us to run as the Jets did last week, we'll run successfully.
Well, we're also joined by somebody that is becoming one of the best people covering the NFL many years, a man who had to play many roles as a quarterback and came back from the USFL. People may have forgotten that, and found a way to be patient behind a guy named Joe Montana and then became a Hall of Famer himself. Steve Young, thanks for joining us. Are you there?
Yeah, I am, Nick. How are you, buddy?
Hi,
very
Steve.
Good. You know, Steve.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
We're with Bill Polian. You know, guys, when you look at what Peyton Manning did, coming back, scoring the go-ahead touchdown, then what could have been emotionally, something that distracted or took the team off its balance, its emotional confidence, and yet Peyton Manning found a way to come back twice in the last couple minutes. Steve, is that, if you will, one of the best ways to measure the overall resiliency and confidence of a team, that they can do that, they can do it twice in the last few minutes?
Yeah, you know, we all know that football is the ultimate team game, so don't take any of my comments about Peyton out of context, because he can't do it without a lot of good people. But he's doing so much more than you could ever imagine. As a guy who played a long time, I watched some of the greats with Joe Montana, of course. I've seen, you know, that I grew up and played in the eras of John Elway and Dan Marino and Troy Aikman, so I've seen a lot of great players. What he's doing right now and the way that he is in command of every little detail, and I'm talking about thousands and thousands of details, by, you know, second by second, you know, you just don't run into that. I mean, it's once in a generation that you have somebody that's so in command. And if he gets the protection, because he's the guy that needs protection, he needs to have, he doesn't do it alone, like I said, but he's in such command that I just marvel at it. It's fun to watch him, you know, break hearts like he did in New York last weekend. And, you know, there's one play that I watched, I actually showed it on my little in-the-pocket routine on pregame on Monday, where he steps up, it looks like there's a running lane, he starts to go, it closes, he pulls back, and then he throws it, you know, for an 18-yard strike to Marvin Harrison on the right sideline. And you just, guys who are playing today don't even, they can't fathom how far ahead he is than everybody else. I mean, the only guy that's close, there's a couple guys that are close, Donovan, Brett obviously had his time, but Donovan but Tom Brady, those are the only names that you can really, to me, kind of talk about in terms of how much in command they are. And even those names, I tell you, Peyton is doing things that are just, you should, if somehow you've got to get a chance to watch him every week. I know with DirecTV and those other places, you've got to get the Colts on every weekend to watch him. You can't miss him playing football right now. It's too much fun.
Well, we're joined by Steve Young from ESPN's Primetime, Bill Polian. Bill, before we let you go, one question. You're playing home against Tennessee, a team that most people would agree is not there yet by a long shot. The question to me, and I want to hear Steve talk about Alex Smith as well and other young quarterbacks like Matt Leinart, making his first start this week. Would you be playing a Vince Young this early in his first season? To me, yes, you've got a Norm Chow. You've got a player that is a resilient, physically strong player. It does depend on the individual quarterback, but would you play a player that valuable long-term this early as a starter?
I would, and I'll tell you why. And let's put Peyton and even Kerry Collins, who started early when I was in Carolina, aside, because Steve's exactly correct. They need protection. In this particular case, this young guy, I don't want to compare anyone to Steve Young, because in my opinion, Steve Young is one of the five best quarterbacks that ever played the game. But having said that, this guy can get out of trouble with his feet and make plays with his feet and help his team win with his feet in an extraordinary fashion. Secondly, he's so much farther advanced as a passer than Michael Vick was at a similar stage of his career that he is capable of making some plays down the field. Now, is he going to make errors? Absolutely. He's going to make errors in judgment. He's going to incorrectly read coverages and throw the ball where it shouldn't be thrown. He's going to think perhaps he can stick the ball in where he shouldn't. But that's all a function of experience and time. And while he's getting that experience and that time, he can help you win because he or be competitive because he can create something out of nothing with his feet. We're scared to death to have to play against him because you don't know where he's going to be from one moment to the next. And then when he gets loose, you have to practice plastering up on all the receivers because you don't know. He can throw the ball 60 yards and drill it into someone. So what you're really playing is a young Steve McNair. And so I don't think when you have a team that really is not competitive with anybody else behind the center because of other shortcomings that you hurt this kid by playing him. Now, where he would get hurt over time is if he doesn't develop, as Steve did, the sense of when to throw the ball, when to put it down and run, when not to try to fit it in where he shouldn't, and the ability to read coverages, all of that has to come, and that's sort of a given. But if you look at the history of Steve McNair's career, although Steve sat early in his career because there was a competent guy in front of him, if you can't protect Kerry Collins, for example, and they're having some difficulty doing that, Kerry is at risk at that point in time. This kid doesn't need that protection. And I hearken back to Steve Young in the USFL. I mean, he did have a great offensive line. And by the way, Steve, it means we're both old. But he had a great offensive line in front of him. But, I mean, you never knew where he's going to be. He'd turn up outside the tackle box one time, over on the other side the next, could throw the ball 60, 70 yards on a dime. And how do you defend that? Well, the answer is you hold your breath. So he creates, playing this young guy, creates far more problems for the defense than Tennessee did before. And I don't think it's going to hurt him all that much to get the experience.